Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
They've been great. I haven't singled anybody out. I think for the totality of the group, have all bought into what we're having to do and what's at stake and what's important. And we realize it's a short window, and the sacrifices that everybody has to make. They understood that coming into here. So I don't think I've had to talk to any of the younger guys more than the veterans. I think. I speak to the group as a whole because I try to treat everybody the same.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's David Ross. It's weird not having baseball yesterday. I'm now totally addicted, and I was totally bummed when the Cubs rained out. I know that's insane, and maybe after today, if I can spend some quality hours in front of the NBA, maybe my focus will shift. But honest to God, all I care about right now is baseball. I'm really fired up about the White Sox. I don't know why. I feel like this team is better than we've seen, and they're gonna show it. I don't know why. I just think that we thought they'd be better coming into the year. It's been slightly a drag to see them lose a couple series to open the season, and I think it's win time. I think it's time they start stacking some wins, and I'm on board. I can't help it.
Well, you should
be.
You should be. You should take a step back, take a deep breath, mask up, and be ready for a big weekend. Because, look, the Sox have let's look at what we have coming this weekend for Chicago sports, because it's going to be a lot of fun, Mully. If you're a Sox fan, you got Dallas Keuchel going tonight against the Royals team that you should take 2 out of 3 from. After your first week, which didn't go as you wanted, and thank goodness you're 2-4 and not 1-5. Yep. That's a big difference, Ozzie says. That you have a chance now to kind of right the ship a little bit and get back on the right track. So you got Keuchel going, right? He's going to be for the Sox tonight. You got the Cubs and Darvish. They have a chance to really take advantage of the Pirates, and then you got the Hawks tomorrow. This is going to be a fun weekend starting tonight when the White Sox and the Cubs kind of – yesterday was a reminder of just how much fun this start to the baseball season has had. Even though the Sox have struggled, even though the Cubs have had their moments, you get back into that routine, and you missed it yesterday.
And I'm ready for some Nomar Mazzara. I'm ready to see a different right fielder, and I'm ready to see some more boom. Boom goes the dynamite. I'm all for
it. He had a Louis Robert-type batting practice that you were raving about earlier, so I'm ready too.
312-644-6767. Ron is on the south side. Ron loves the White Sox. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, Ron.
Hey, man, I'm good, guys. And you know what? It's time to see magical gear. Yeah. So that it's like you guys said. But you know what, guys? You know, I've been listening to the station day one. I know how to follow the script. But I was trying to get in touch with y'all yesterday. David, you mentioned a person. I love the White Sox, love baseball. But when you mentioned Magic Johnson yesterday, I've been waiting to call you.
You a fan?
Favorite of all time. And like I said, I love baseball. But Magic, and I know my son gets tired, but look at this chair. I remember we would be playing, and we had maybe a 3-on-1. Nobody would want to shoot. Everybody just passed the ball. He changed change everything about the game. I mean, you guys, and again, I was trying to get in yesterday. I know we're talking baseball, but David, I agree with you 100%. Even to this day, I look at the highlights. It was just change the way the game was played, the way you looked at it. It's just beautiful. And I always tell people, he wasn't the best. That's already decided. But he was my all-time favorite player to watch. And I love baseball. Y'all know that in the White Sox. But Magic Johnson, nothing like him. So I had to get there.
Thanks, Ron.
Go White Sox. Okay, let's enjoy the Sox. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ron. That's
fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, Magic
Listen,
Johnson
I'm not
played.
Saying Magic wasn't a great player. I wasn't picking on you for putting that poster on your wall. I just thought I'll be honest. I think you're kind of a front runner. I hope I'm not offending you.
I know, but I have the poster to prove that I have been a Lakers guy for a long time, going back to when Magic made playing with a lot of joy cool thing to do, and I love the no-look pass. And Ron's right. You know, he changed the way we sort of, you played if you were that young at the time. But, yeah, I'm
that's
glad that Ron got through to express his Magic
point.
Johnson love.
I go back to when George Mikan was with the Lakers, and I remember – no, that's not true.
So he mentioned Magical – Yes. Mully, he mentioned, you know, obviously
magical.
A lot of...
He mentioned Magic and Magical.
right. Nick Magical. And, you know, do you think that this weekend is too soon? You mentioned him wanting to open at home. Why do you think that is possibly a priority?
I think that they're going to wait a couple more series. I don't think they should. Don't get me wrong. But I think they are, because I think they don't want to make it look like they were, it was service time that prevented him from coming up. If it was service time, wouldn't he be already in Kansas City? Because he's good enough and they could use him, frankly. You know, they've lost one game already because they had a guy kicking the ball around. So I got no problem with Magical coming up. I'm really anxious to see what he can get done. He's a different type of player. He's going to be a different kind of guy altogether down at the bottom of the lineup. You know, one of the things, as much as you love home runs and you love the White Sox getting their power going and everything, you know, it's all about moving the line, right? And it's all about getting on base and all about kind of scoring runs, you know, creating runs a little bit. I've seen them load the bases now without getting anything out of it. And I'm not saying that changes just because Nick Madrigal is a part of it, but he's a baseball player more than a hitter, right? I mean, he's a guy that does all sorts of little things, and he'll hit the other way, and he'll be a really good baseball player. But he's not going to put up numbers that are going to scare the hell out of you.
Nor should the White Sox expect or need him to at this stage of his career. But I'll tell you what we're overlooking is that tonight you've got the pitcher on the mound that induces ground balls at a rate that is highest of any starter in Major League Baseball last year. And you've got a prospect who is as good with his glove as he is crafty with his bat. And I think that when you have the combination and you have every game meaning more, 2.7 is the number. This is not just one game. It's 2.7 games tonight. And I just think you're wasting an opportunity every time that you don't have him as part of your defensive infield, because if the Sox have a weakness, now we've seen the starting pitching struggle, but if they have a weakness going into the season overall, it has been their team defense. And I think Madrigal also helps shore that up in a way that we tend to overlook because of all the attention on his kind of that he's pesky and he doesn't strike out a lot.
Yeah, the whole idea that Madrigal is pretty close to promotion, if it's inevitable, let's get to it, right? I mean, I Kevin is absolutely correct. We talked about this before. Nick Madrigal is very unlikely to put up the kind of numbers that will command massive dollars on the free agent market. So you waited to get the service time thing. That's fine. I got no complaint with that. But is your best team on the field right now? And you know, clearly they're short at, in the outfield, right? I think clearly they have they've had some issues already with their outfield. It's been a kind of a boogeyman for them for a number of years now. But they thought they were solving it by going out and getting the left-handed bat to even up the lineup, right? The slugger in Mazzara. And then Louis Robert coming in and just increasing the defense all over the field. And he's really – he's been as good as advertised. I think Louis Robert's been fantastic and needs to be in that lineup. But there's a lot of these younger guys that have not advanced in the same fashion that you thought. And so you're left a little bit short in your outfield. And I think guys like Adam Engel – they need to be, you know, he's a fourth outfielder at best, right? He's a defensive replacement at best. He's not a guy that is that you really want to have to rely upon. And I think that I think it will make them significantly better when they get all hands on deck. And again, it's 60 games, man. It's you know,
that's right.
That's the problem.
It just sounds disingenuous, Mully, when they talk about the fact that he's close and he's getting there. And I don't know how he gets there any faster by going to Schaumburg and have simulated action when you could actually thrust him into, you know, Major League Baseball competition. And I think he would fare pretty well. I think he looks ready. I'm not going to say that, you know, my eyes trained like theirs are trained because they are the professionals. They have the job. But when Chris Getz talks about being, you know, really, really close, I don't know what he really, really means, except for you can interpret it however you want, but it just seems a little disingenuous.
Yeah, I want to see them at their best, and I want them to start winning with consistency. And it really should start with Kansas City, because I think if you just look at the talent level, they're significantly better. But it is baseball, so you're correct to say win a series, win two out of three. Personally, I would prefer a sweep. That's just me. I don't think it's asking that much, nor do I think it's asking that much of the Cubs. But I you know, it's baseball, so it's every day is different, and weird things happen on the field and all the rest of it. So I totally understand what's going on. I also, you know, I think that Madrigal, you know, he could have done more to make that team, right? I mean, he didn't make it. He could have put it out of the park, so they had to bring him. And he didn't do that. I think he was really good, and he was good in spring training, but he wasn't going to make the team at that point. And he was good in summer camp, but he wasn't great. You know what I'm saying? So you could justify what they've done and try to be patient. I think that it's a twofold problem. He's probably good enough, and they need him. And so they thought he wasn't ready, maybe, and they thought they could get by without him. And it turns out they need him.
I'm starting to wonder if it would have mattered. I just think that the longer this goes on, they definitely needed him in the first week. They had, you know, the opening night. I know Garcia is a guy who's got some pop in his bat, but he also, you know, we butchered a couple, made a couple defensive miscues that really cost the Sox. And I think that, sooner rather than later. But, Mully, you talked about a sweep. Do you trust Keuchel, Gio, and Cease? Are they more likely to sweep the Royals or the Cubs with Darvish, Chatwood, and Lester likely to sweep the Pirates? I think if I were to pick a team that looks capable of a sweep this weekend, it might be the Cubs.
You know, I honestly, David, I'm not sure that what we've seen is what we're going to see. You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if form matters in this kind of a sprint type thing. So the Cubs have been playing significantly better baseball, but you can't tell. I can't. It's very difficult. If you were trying to pick, you know, games in Vegas, I think it's a lot more difficult than it has been in the past, because I think, as I said, I think the Sox are probably a better team than we've seen from them. They've looked worse than they really are. And the Cubs might have looked a little better than they really are, but it all comes down to the pitching, as you are saying. You know, I think, you know, Keuchel's certainly capable of winning. He will need some help defensively, but that's your job. You're supposed to be able to do that. As far as the Cubs are concerned, boy, you know, we talked about needing it from you yesterday. We need it now from you today, right? I mean, nothing changes.
I'm trying,
other
man.
Than
I'm
the
trying.
Venue.
I'm trying. Oh, you mean you. You. As in Darvish.
Yeah. No, you're doing great.
I thought you were giving me a pep
you,
talk.
David,
I think, we need more I'm from talking, you today. Come on. Yeah, you can do better.
I'm saying it's a big start for you, Darvish, isn't it? And,
yeah, it
and
is.
The problem yeah. the problem that I have when I look at the Cubs is if anyone doesn't do well, right? I mean, we saw Kyle Hendricks run into a bad inning and he's out. The bullpen's not going to pick you up. I think we've learned that from the start of the season. So that worries me. Starting pitching more important on the north side than the south side. Is that a fair comment?
Yes, without a doubt, because we see the Cubs already dipping into their South Bend pool to bring up Colin Ray and to dispatch Dylan Maples. And they are going to be doing that a lot, it seems, because they don't have a lot of answers on the roster. And the bullpen has been as bad as any in Major League Baseball. The starting pitching as good as any in Major League Baseball, but they have to find somewhere in the middle to meet.
Yeah, I just, you know, the White Sox have made a lot of changes. I do not want them to look like just a normal team, which is what they do. They look like a 72-win team that's trying to get better in the next year rather than a team that's ready to break through. That's off of 1 week, and I don't know that it actually counts that much, but that's kind of where you're coming from. And they've already had, you know, Jimmy Lambert's gone and Ronaldo Lopez is gone. I mean, they've had injuries in their pitching staff, which is always a terrible sign, right?
And that increases the pressure on Dylan Cease Sunday to
yes.
show us that he's capable of just being a guy who has great stuff but can't command it. He's got to avoid the big bad inning early because that tends to get him in trouble, and you want to see him be as dominant as people have been talking about him for what it seems like is a very long time.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, we're going to bring in Len Casper. We're going to talk to Len about what happened yesterday in baseball, about the new seven-inning rule, and we'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score.
Here it comes.
Len Casper.
Deep drive. That ball is gone. A grand slam. Ian Happ makes it 5-1.
Cubs TV play-by-play man.
Can you bunt the ball on the wavelength? That's my question.
Way out of here. Hello, Sheffield.
Kevin Hart is here.
I'm going to tell you, because I don't know if anybody else has ever told you, you have an amazing voice, man. Goodness.
Thank you. Like got to hear him sing.
It's like a dove. If a dove could talk, this is what it would sound like. Yeah, that's exactly.
Never been told that.
Twitter.com/Len Casper.
Oh, baby, Chris Bryant. Deep drive, way back. Ball game over. Cubs win. Cubs win.
Len Casper, talking Cubs with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always fun to catch up with Len Casper. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Len, good morning.
Morning, Len.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're delighted to talk to you. And missed baseball yesterday. I was telling David, I know it's absurd, but I was like, oh, wait a minute, there's no game on tonight. How can that be possible? And I did tune in briefly to watch some of the Red Sox against the Mets, but it didn't fire me up in the same fashion. I just think we're now getting obsessed with baseball easily.
I agree. Yeah, it unfortunately the forecast was not going to allow us to play last night. A little surprised we waited as long as we did, but they got it right in the end. And I think, I'm not positive, it looks like there's a common off day to make this one up at the end of August. But if there isn't, it looks like we may have 2 7-inning games as part of a doubleheader, which I find pretty intriguing. This is a season unlike any other in that rules get tweaked on an almost daily basis, and I don't know what other things are in the offing, but it's pretty interesting.
Len, let's go with that then. In terms of being a baseball traditionalist, a guy who's been around the game for a long time, what do you think about the seven-inning doubleheaders and how it fits into the context of this season as well as with the other rules changes?
Well, I like everybody else, David, I think I've adjusted my sights a tad. I was not for the runner at second base to start extra innings, but a lot of people have found it intriguing. We haven't had one of those moments yet, but I think strategically it's fun. For this year, I wasn't necessarily on board with the expanded playoff field of 16, but again, I think in this environment, it works. So, yeah, let's try some stuff, because if baseball is going to be a little weird this year, let's embrace the weird, right, and see what works and what doesn't. I don't know how you guys feel about the DH, but, you know, pitchers batting, I think that ship has sailed, right? It just looks fine. Cubs lineup is really lengthy. I haven't really noticed a lot of angst about that going away once we started, because the game doesn't look that different with an extra hitter in the lineup. And in fact, I think the numbers are, going into last night, the league is hitting 229. Last year, league average was 252. So even with the DH in both leagues, right now pitchers seem to be dominating the hitters. And if you had pitchers batting, it might be even worse.
That's fascinating. I guess there's so much to go over. Anthony Rizzo, that tweet to Major League Baseball told an entire story to me, and that is that, and again, we were watching the NBA in the bubble last night when there was no baseball on, and boy, they really did a very careful and well-thought-through plan, and it seems like MLB is sort of flying by the seat of their pants with some of the changes we've seen, with what's happened with the Phillies, now that they had the Marlins in. The Marlins, obviously, now I think 17 players they're up to, and are traveling party members. And of course, you have to cancel games now in Philly. It's just worrisome all the way around. Have they done this the correct way? Have they thought this through? Are they kind of adapting on the move here?
Well, I think if we go back to the bubble idea, and remember that was the original kind of thought, right, to do it either in Arizona or Florida or a combination of both, or maybe Texas. There are just so many more people involved with 30 baseball teams than with an NBA group that doesn't even include the entire league. Same for the National Hockey League. I just think it was just too much. And then if you try to play in Florida, Texas, and Arizona in July and August, how are you going to do that? There aren't enough domed stadiums to make that work. So I don't think MLB really had much of a choice than to do it the way they're doing it. But then when you include travel, it does get really messy. You know, when you say flying by the seat of your pants and making things up as you go, I think that's generally kind of accurate, but I don't know what other choice they had in order to get a season in, right? So it's just the way it goes, and I actually laud the league and I laud the players and everybody involved for being able to adjust even mid-season with some of these rules, as opposed to, well, you know, 9 innings is a baseball game, and the White Sox and the Indians played 9 innings for their doubleheader, so we can't change the rule. I think it's smart to say, you know what, we've got to change the rule. We can't make these guys sit at the ballpark for, you know, 12, 13 hours in a day, when the idea is to get them in, get them out, and move on to the next game.
Lynn, after a week of watching baseball and the Cubs, what on this team, what area or player qualifies to you as a surprise?
It's not a surprise to me, David, but I think Nico Horner has been incredibly impressive. There was a question I think we all had about how playing time at second base would be parceled out, and so far it looks like Horner's going to be the guy most days. Kipnis will get certain at-bats against right-handed pitchers. He can DH. But for right now, I think it's a combination of the hot hand and the fact that Rossi really likes Horner's all-around game in terms of defense and offense. I think he makes the lineup a little more dynamic in that he's not a launch angle guy. He's not a guy who's going to take a lot of walks. He'll make contact. If you put him in a situation to move a runner, he's probably the one guy you trust the most to put a ball in play. So I really like the look of Nico Horner in this lineup.
Lent first time through the rotation, the starting pitching was stellar, except for maybe Yu Darvish. Now you have concerns in the bullpen. How important is this start for Darvish?
Yeah, they're all important when you only get about a dozen in a 60-game schedule.
Right.
He was clearly frustrated with his first outing. Just you could tell it just wasn't quite right. He's deliberate as it is, but I felt like he really slowed it down last Saturday and just could not get in a groove. The Pirates offensively have struggled even more than the rest of the league in scoring runs, so this could be a good matchup for him this weekend. These are the series you have to win. It's great to win two out of three against the Reds, a team that you expect to be competing against, but you know, the teams like the Pirates coming in, these are the series if you want to win the division, you absolutely need to win two out of three. And you know, there are no must wins, I guess, at this point in the season, but once we start getting into August, it matters a little bit more.
Len, how would you describe the transition to calling games on Marquee, and what did you make? I know you kind of poked fun at the attention paid your edict to that you're wearing a jacket and tie, which you look pretty dapper these days, Len.
Thank you, David. Yeah, I'm digging it. I think we look pretty sharp, and I'm enjoying the new look overall, and you know, the vibe of the graphics and the entire presentation on the new network. And look, I try to look as good as I can every time I'm on camera. It's a visual medium. And a week ago, the conversation was, can I even find the Cubs? And if now the conversation is about what I'm wearing, we're in good shape.
Well, I got to be honest with you. You look too good. And the problem is I sit up straighter in my seat, and I had to go and shave. I had to shave at one point just to clean up a little. I suppose you're helping humanity with personal hygiene and such, but it's an amazing thing to see. You really you do clean up nice.
Oh, I appreciate that. And this week too, when I joined you here a couple of minutes ago, I was going to say it's nice to be home after a road trip, but I've been home the whole time. It's bizarro baseball, but that's been kind of nice, actually, you know, taking a little of the travel out of it. So, you know, maybe the broadcasters will be a little more refreshed tonight than the traveling party.
But is that a unique challenge, though, Len, because there are some things about the ambiance and some things about the observational value of being there. I would imagine that would take as much of an adjustment, it represents as much of a change as anything.
For sure. It's a challenge I'm tackling with as much gusto as I can because it is unprecedented, at least for me. The triple play, you know, I got it right eventually. Before the inning ended, but you know, not being in the ballpark and kind of seeing the whole play develop right in front of my eyes, and I was talking with Pat, who I'm sure nailed the call as well. You know, you're trying to get the details all in as the play is happening, but ultimately it was, I think that's a triple play, and that's what it was. And it was kind of a weird, messy, funny call on my end, and probably not my best, but I think everybody understands the situation. And I thought the ball was on the ground anyway, and I guess it was, but it counted in the end, so it all worked out.
Great stuff, Len. Really enjoying the broadcast. Thanks a ton. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Len.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
That is Len Casper, and he is a dapper man. He's making us all raise our game. I kind of like it.
Do you think he's wearing a tie this morning? He didn't have to do that for radio interviews, too, did he?
David, you get in the habit, you know? You get up, you clean up, and you feel like a million.
There's I'm wearing a tie right now here in the studios, the Hyundai studios.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's if that were true, Kevin, there would be $5 American heading your way. But
I'll double my paycheck.
Yeah.
To buy a new tie. That matched.
Yeah. Find a medium between that real short tie and that real long one. Just right at the belt line. Don't buy what others are selling. All right, Peter Gammons will join us next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Peter Gammons, MLB Network analyst.
Around the pole and gone.
Taking you inside Major League Baseball with the Hall of Famer, Peter Gammons.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Peter Gammons joins us on the Alphamonte Ford Hotline, Alphamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Peter, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Peter.
I'm doing very well. Excellent.
You know, I don't know if we should take anything negative away from it, but the idea that you're in season and now you have to make a rule change to turning doubleheaders to seven-inning games, should that have been thought up before, and is that just a response to what has happened with the Phillies, with first the Marlins and now the Phillies, with the postponements and cancellations?
I think that they thought about it, but I think that the fact is, I mean, the coronavirus was never contained. So now, I mean, you can't beat it. So you just have to – it controls baseball and what goes on. And, I mean, you know, just look at what – poor Toronto's not going to be able to play anywhere. You know, in hockey and in basketball, by being able to have being able to all play in the same place, and now obviously they have fewer teams, but it could have been done in the United States if you were able to use Texas, maybe even Wisconsin, go to Milwaukee and Miami, I mean Florida and Arizona, but you know, three of those four states have the worst records in the country. And their governors did not try to contain the virus at all, so it made it impossible. So baseball has to react every day. I have no idea how they're going to make up all these games. What's happened with the Miami Marlins is it's reckless on the players' part. It's like that goofy congressman from Texas who blaming having the virus on having to wear a mask. I mean, it's beyond belief, but it's I don't know what they do, how they make up all these games, the number of cancellations. And, you know, just saying, all right, we play 51 games or we play 52 or we play 47 and whoever has the best winning percent, I'm not sure that really does it in a lot of ways. I mean, if one team plays one less game or two less games than the team that's ahead of them, that's one thing, but if it's five or six or seven, or the other way around, the team that plays the fewer games ends up with a higher percentage because they didn't have to play the extra games, it's unfair. So I get the doubleheader thing. I don't think it's bad to have the seven innings because I'm not sure the pitchers are going to be right by the time the supposed regular season is going to be over. I mean, it's a real problem with pitching injuries because they didn't have enough time. They ramped up. When everyone was sent home was about 6 days before the opening of the season. So pitchers have basically made their last outings. They were throwing close to full tilt. Now they get laid off for 3 or 4 months. They come back. They have they have intra-squad games and maybe one exhibition game to get ready. And the fact is, I mean, it was said to me many years ago by an orthopedic surgeon, the last start you make in spring training is different from the first start you make in the regular season in terms of 3 to 5% of energy, 3 to 5% of enthusiasm, and strain on your arm. And we've seen a lot of guys go down already. What is it, 40 something pitchers be disabled, and it's because they weren't ready. And you know, I had one general manager said, you'll see 50 more before the season's over. And so having seven innings and not having to use as many relievers and not pitch guys five times in a week is probably a very good thing.
Speaking of relievers, Peter, is Joe Kelly the hero the Dodgers deserve or a baseball vigilante who crossed the line?
I think it's fine if he drills somebody in the rear end. I didn't think he needed to throw fastball over Bregman. So Chris did the same thing. He drilled Bregman in 2018. The Astros beat the Red Sox in the first game of the playoffs, ALCS, and he hit a home run. So Kelly drilled him in too. Joe Kelly wasn't with the 2017 Dodgers either. He was in Boston in 2017. And, I mean, one time is a statement. I mean, well, I have no idea about the breaking ball over, throwing the breaking ball barely over Correa's head. He leans back, which is a natural reaction. He gets hit in the face. I mean, I'm not sure that's right. I like Joe, but he is he's an unguided missile. And just a little bit overboard. I mean, you know, there are a lot of teams that did different things. It was said to me by someone in the commissioner's office, approximately 17 teams were doing different things. Yankees, Red Sox, both got hit, not really hard. And, you know, the commissioner basically told the Red Sox that what they were doing was what about that number of teams were doing. But, you know, it had come out publicly, they had to do something about it. So they took away their second round draft choice. But it's, you know, the thing is, and I don't like the way the whole thing is set up, in that the owner, the general manager, and the manager, who are all in on the installation of that system so that people could carry it out. Alex Cora, Beltran, who understood it from the Yankee times, and the players now end up being the heavies, and everybody else is sort of drifted out. Obviously, Luna is out of baseball right now, but a little bit too much defense of never step on an owner's toes in that case. And I thought the original story in The Athletic was really well written, certainly the most important baseball story of the last year. But at the same time, I think it really spelled out what the culture was all about. And one of the two writers covered the Astros for 2 years and knew a lot about that culture.
Yeah, you know, Jim Crane gets a walk and, you know, is even mentioned before. Well, the commissioner didn't find anything wrong. I don't know. I just think that if that was policed a little bit differently or judged a little differently, then maybe there wouldn't be the same kind of reprisal. But it seems like when you kind of are soft on the Astros, and I get it. There were people removed from jobs, and the players all got a free pass, and that people are angry about it. And you know, the money was negligible, the draft picks, whatever. I think that leads to this sort of thing, and then you come down with the hammer on the guy that did it, and maybe justifiably so because you don't want it happening. But that's a large percentage of the season, right, Peter?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was I could see five games, which right. is, let's see, five times 2.7, 13 games during the regular season. But I thought it was a little bit too much on Joe. And I understand that he wants to put an end to this. But, you know, the other thing that came, you know, the way it was done, no players were mentioned. And we don't know what players were using it and what run. I do know this from people who were involved in this. The second baseman wasn't part of it. And he's taken more heat than anybody. And in spring training, I asked him, look, I know you didn't use any of that stuff. He said, but if I defend myself, then I'm essentially throwing teammates under the bus. And that's it's too bad because he's such a good guy and he's been a great player. But Brantley wasn't even there. And it was left confused. And I know that the commissioner's office has been really trying to fix all this. I mean, when they went through and studied what went on in Boston and also New York, they realized that when they rushed to get the instant replay up, it's good and all that, I guess, to a degree. But the fact is, I mean, they thought this was going to be, remember they were saying, you know, fans are going to love the strategy. You know, they go, oh, should the manager go for the replay for the challenge in the fifth inning, or should he wait for the eighth inning? I've never heard of anybody talking about when is the manager going to pull the when is he going to ask for the for the challenge? I mean, come on, that's not part of baseball strategy. But they also didn't understand clubhouses, how they work, how they use electronics, and how the replay stuff can be transferred immediately to the manager. They just didn't think a lot of it out. And so I think a lot of people were at fault in all this. and I hate to use the word fault because I think a lot of it was naivete on the commissioner's office part. But I think there should have been a broader sweep. I mean, now they've done it, and I don't see any problem with them not being able to use go to the video room. I mean, not to seem like it's an old timer, but I mean when George Brett and Robin Yount and those people were playing in the mid '80s, they didn't have to go to the replay room to look at their swings and so forth. It's become video has been very helpful, but in some ways it's become overbearing, I think. And I think it has too many, and I also think it has pitchers thinking too much about, is this right? Is this right? Sometimes you just need to pitch off, I'm going to beat the batter, and not off, is my delivery right? They're thinking delivery or they're thinking velocity and not pitching. And that's why Hendricks is so good. And I mean, right now, Bieber, we had a walk on in college, and he was considered a non prospect, is the best pitcher in baseball right now because he always had the great delivery. The foot landed in the same place. He was certainly not a radar gun guy. And I think that's one of the things that's changing in the game. I think you're seeing more and more teams go to try to look at scouts or pitching coaches who understand deliveries. Kyle Snyder in Tampa, after each pitcher throws on his in between start, takes pictures off his camera of where the landing hole for the pitcher to just understand where is your delivery. And I think that sort of thing is coming back, not just the video. It's because this is what's really important. It's kind of a fun part of the game, but I think hitters could do without having to go look at their video between innings. I really do. I don't know how Ted Williams hit 406 without a video rub.
Peter, thanks a ton. Have a great weekend. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
That was Peter Gammon. It's always a joy to talk to him. Yeah, how did they manage to do that back in the day?
I don't know. You know, he makes a really good point, though, about Shane Bieber. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
If you're a Sox fan, you dread to see that. Two starts, Molly, did you see that? 27 strikeouts. He has yet to give up a run. 2-0 for the Indians.
Let's talk a little pitching. I have a question about pitching I want to run by
okay.
you, David.
Good.
When we come back. It's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.